section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Full Metal Mayhem is back, but for 10 minutes. Is TNA really for sale? And is the corporation making their comeback? All this and much, much more in this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. Eric Bischoff was sent home. Or, I'm sorry, he's working from home. So what's the real story on this, Aaron?
Yeah, so actually, I feel really bad. We knew about this last week. We actually knew about it even the week before, I believe. And we forgot to talk about it. But it actually is a really big deal. So, you know, Bischoff was a part of the creative minds, you know, with TNA, and people, he hadn't been around that much. And then they were saying, oh, yeah, he's working from home, even at Bound for Glory, which is their biggest pay-per-view of the year. It'd be the equivalent to, I don't know, let's say Vince McMahon, you know, working from home. Missing WrestleMania. You know, even though they're not on the same level, it would be the equivalent of that. So, Bischoff's contract's up in February. He's done with the company. And actually, that kind of people wonder then what's going to happen with Garrett. You know, he apparently is a really hard worker, but he may not be with the company then either.
I actually disagree with you on that. I thought for the longest time, Eric Bischoff just was not cut. I thought he was overweight, didn't look good. And then recently, he's been making a transformation where you could tell he's been hitting the gym hard. He's changed his diet. He looks leaner and bigger, so I wouldn't be surprised if he stays. Something about it just tells me that, because something happened on Impact was that when he took off his cut, the crowd cheered, and they cheered really loud. So I wouldn't be surprised if when Ace and Eights finally, you know, if they ever break, I wouldn't be surprised if he takes on a big singles career, and that'll decide his fate. If for some reason the fans just don't like him after a few weeks, then he's done, and then they'll just let him go because of that. But the whole thing with Bischoff, I just feel that when he had money and when he had the money to back him and he could do whatever he wanted pretty much in WCW, that's when WCW was at the highest. But at some point, you can get all these big name guys and throw out millions and millions and millions of dollars. But the storyline, I mean, I think some of those guys, the storylines were simple. I think it's tougher when you take guys who, you know, nothing against any of them, but let's just say that they're nobodies and you have to make them into somebodies. I always think of the Briscoe brothers from Ring of Honor that way. They were nobodies and then they became somebody because of good writing and hiding weaknesses and showing their strengths. That's one thing that Bischoff could not do in TNA, as you can tell. And I can sit there and bash, you know, like the fact that his shows that he's done, they're all ripoffs of another show. You know, Hardcore Pawn Chicago, those are all rip-offs of other shows.
That's beside the point, though. I just want to end it on this, which is I believe that Bischoff is a very intelligent and very business savvy person. But I think in the wrestling business, and in particular for TNA, if he had unlimited money, he would make that place a huge success. The problem is he doesn't have unlimited money. You need somebody like a Paulie Heyman in there who can work with very little money and help make things a success. And that, I think, is where the issue is.
And that's why I also believe that Paul Heyman is very underrated at what he does.
Yeah. And I mean, we could go on and on about that. Andy.
So Roland Alexander passed away. Now, you're probably wondering, I think I've heard that name before. Well, he was on Colt Cabana's podcast, but he was also on a very famous movie called Beyond the Mat. If you remember Roland, they had a whole shtick with that. But anyway, so he passed away. I just wanted to send the show would like to send their condolences out to the family. And make sure you check out Colt Cabana's podcast, Art of Wrestling. And his is really funny because Colt Cabana completely marks out for him. So, Aaron, who is Oscar from Man on a Mission? Because he said that John Cena is not a superstar.
So this is a guy who wrestled for the WWF in the mid-90s, and he was it was kind of like a rap group almost. And basically he only wrestled for a short while, and he came out and said that he believes that John Cena is not a superstar in the same way Hulk Hogan is. Now, the headline grabber is he's not a superstar. But the real thing that he said was that, and I actually want to talk about this just for a short bit, is that he said, you take a look at that era and look, it's Hulk Hogan. Plain and simple. Yes, you'll remember some of the other people, but the first name that's going to come out in almost everybody's mind is Hulk Hogan, for obvious reasons and for good reasons. But you fast forward to today, and he's saying that there's so many forgettable people there that there's not one that sticks out above everybody else, and he doesn't believe that Cena is that guy. Now, I got to ask you, Andy, do you agree or disagree with what he's saying about John Cena?
I think he's upset because he stuck doing the indie scene, and finally people were like, yeah, you were big 20 years ago, and you're not going to get that $500 check anymore. Here's 20 bucks. That's pretty much what it's, you know, it's sour grapes, dude. That's all it is. I think a lot of people will bash Cena for that. Now, as a wrestler, Cena's not the greatest. I will say that. As a performer, I think actually, oh my gosh. Name one big wrestler that could actually wrestle that was like Cena or Hogan. Think about it.
None of them. Their draw was.
So basically, to make it in the wrestling business, is you have to suck at wrestling, but the fans must love you. You have to have something charismatic about you. Because The Rock's not a good wrestler.
Just now figure that out?
It just finally occurred to me. Unbelievable.
Really?
I'm trying to think of one. I can say Benoit, but, you know, everyone wants
Benoit to never him. Big. He was not a big wrestler.
But that's the thing. He was not the guy.
No, he wasn't. When you think about the guy, the only one that I could potentially think about, potentially, would be Sting. That's the only one I can think about. Because and it's not that Sting is a great wrestler. He was good, but he was never great. You know, if you look at somebody who defined a year or, you know, a couple of years, you know, I would look at, you know, a Hogan, a Warrior, a Savage. I would look over at WCW. I'd look at a Ric Flair, Sting, Goldberg, you know, and back in WWF.
But see, you know what, though? I think DDP is a good wrestler.
Yeah, but he never defined.
But okay, them. You're right.
I mean, is he?
Good point. David Arquette.
So anyway, Andy, I believe that this is it's one of those things where I agree with you. I think that John Cena is a little underrated, and I really don't like Cena, but I would say I think he's a little underrated. And I believe that when you look back and you talk about people who define certain eras, you have a Hogan, you have a Rock, and I think that you have a John Cena.
Okay. I will actually agree with you on that. So Janice Carter sent out a memo to all employees, and I'm gonna go into a little bit of detail about this. Sent out to employees that TNA is not for sale. The thing is, the wording that was used, TNA is not for sale. Okay, so TNA is not for sale, but they don't own TNA 100%. That's one thing that not many people know. If I'm correct, they own 70% of TNA, and the Jarrett family, I think, owns 25%, and then 5% is miscellaneous people. So anyways, so they don't own a full controlling stake. If they were to sell 50% of their stake in TNA, technically the company's not for sale, just their stake in the company and whatever they have put into the company, that's what is at for sale.
And yeah, but that's like when WWE said, we're not interested in anybody within TNA. Of course they would say that. They're not going to come out and be like, oh, yeah, you know what? The AJ Styles guy is awesome. We need to get him over here. No, they're not going to say that. Same thing here. Whenever a company is for sale, people are not going to say, hey, my company's for sale. They're not going to say that. And, you know, we're going to talk about this a little bit more for our weekly topic. But it's one of those things where, look, they're going to say that it's not for sale when it is. And so, you know, you – look, if you ask somebody who robbed a bank, you know, hey, did you do it? No, I never did it. No, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. I didn't do it.
And one thing I just want to point out real quick is that there's two good sources, one within TNA and one with the company that's supposedly buying them, that actually let Dave Meltzer know from Wrestling Observer and and F4W Online, they actually let him know that, hey, we've been talking to him for months. So that's one of those things they know, but whatever. We're not going to go into it. One thing, you brought up something about AJ Styles, but this got leaked, was that WWE actually offered him a contract. But his problem was that it was one-fifth of what he's making at TNA. So let's just hypothetically, let's say they offer him a $100,000 deal. So that means he's making $500,000 a year in TNA, which I don't think is the exact number. But that's the downside guarantee. That's not including your house shows, pay-per-views, your merchandise sales, which is the big thing. I bet anything that just the merchandise sales alone will go past. Just that makes more than what he made in TNA. And then every time he works a house show, the stuff for pay-per-views, all that money when you throw into there, I bet you he would be making double what he's making in TNA. It's just that he doesn't get that. He only gets a certain downside guarantee, and that's it. That's why I thought it was interesting that it was leaked, and I'm pretty sure it was someone from Styles Camp.
Well, you know, and I think that when you hear something like that, where he's only offered one-fifth, it goes to show that WWE doesn't think that they're going to make much money with him. And I think that's the biggest thing. It's not even about how much it that's the way I'm looking at it. You know, like, think of it this way. If they offered him what he was making at TNA, you could say, you know what? That's not a bad idea. You know, I could go there, go to a much larger stage, a global stage, and show off my skills and also show off, you know, what I could potentially do. But WWE is looking at that and going, you know what? He could be good, but, you know, this is a strict TNA guy, and we've had strict TNA guys come over and they failed miserably. But this is Mr. TNA. And do I think that he could succeed in WWE? Absolutely. But you also have to market him correctly. You also have to book him correctly. You can't just put him up against Cena match number one and, you know, have Cena win, of course, and be like, oh, well, that's all we do. No, you would have to start him in the middle and then have him work his way up. And that's the best way to go about it. You know, I'm not talking about the actual matches themselves, but could you imagine money-making programs, him taking on Miz being the heel, you know, or
CM Punk.
Well, and I'll get to that in a second. Those are main events. All right. That's what's going to sell a pay-per-view. But you have AJ Styles taking on Miz, taking on Kofi, taking on Wade Barrett, you know, taking on Antonio Cesaro, going through the gauntlet like that. And then eventually you have him in main events, you know, the Royal Rumble main event, AJ Styles versus CM Punk, you know, something like that. Have him at Elimination Chamber, have him taking on Daniel Bryan. I mean, these are really, really big matches.
But see, you know what? I think that's for the wrestling, the person who cares about wrestling. I think that's what they want to see. And I think that's what we would want to see. And that's because of it. I wish that he would have just said, I'll sign it. Or I almost wish that they would throw him a contract where it's half of what he's making in TNA. But I've been thinking about this more and more when this was first put out. I'm wondering if he's lying, that he threw that out there saying they only offer me a fifth of what I'm making. Let's just say that they only offer him $100,000 and he's making, quote, a half a mil, which I don't believe. Let's just say that. He's just trying to get double the money. And then he'll say, okay, I'll sign. I'm wondering if that's what he's really doing.
It could be, you know, but I like I said, I think that this is one of those cases where I think it actually could be a big money-making opportunity for WWE they brought him over. If they did it properly, you know, we talked about the wrestling side. But I think even the business side would be smart. Andy, speaking of WWE programming this week, Punk and Bryan, they get even with the Wyatts on Raw and again on SmackDown. So it looks like we may have – they're talking about a tag match, like a 3-on-2 match. They might add a couple people to it. Is this a good setup for a traditional Survivor Series match, do you think?
You know, I was thinking about this, and I think I said last week that they were going to bring like Sami Zayn – or Cassius Ohno in, because he's been feuding with the Wyatts as well down at NXT. But then I watched, of all things – was it Superstars or was it – it doesn't matter. But I think the primetime players are going to be involved with CM Punk and Daniel Bryan in some way. So I'm trying to figure out if they're going to add someone to the Wyatt family, like a woman, because I have an idea who it could be. And I have an idea who I hope they don't put in there. But I believe it'll be a woman, though. So that's what I think they're going to do with the whole Survivor Series. But you got to have some type of gimmick where, like, if you guys win, this happens, or, you know, something, or you all get title shots, you know, like the used to be for Survivor Series, you know, when it was good.
Yeah. So the other thing that really happened really big on Raw was that Big Show got reinstated, and he's going to be taking on Randy Orton at Survivor Series. So is this a pay-per-view seller?
You know, it could be. They've been gearing Big Show up for a good program. It just kind of stinks that this is the Daniel Bryan effect is what I'm going to start calling this now, is where you build a guy up over months and months, and then he gets a title shot, and then somehow he gets screwed out of it twice. So that means the show program is going to go until December, which is TLC. So it's going to go to that pay-per-view, and then that program is going to be done. Okay, what was the point of it if Show doesn't win the title? I mean, when you think about it, Show.
Well, the whole point is going to be that the Authority is going to get their heat back, because realistically, over the past couple of weeks, you know, Punk, Brian, Show, they've been getting back at the Authority, and so this is going to be their opportunity to get back, have the Authority get back at the underlings. So to be honest, I think that they have a missed opportunity here where Big Show should have taken on Triple H. And if they have that in the works, then, you know, kudos to them. But in my opinion, you have Big Show take on Triple H at this pay-per-view, and then you'd have Big Show take on Randy Orton at the following pay-per-view, regardless if Show wins or not. Regardless.
Oh, jeez, dude. You know what's going to happen? Oh, my gosh. I can't believe I'm calling
this. You think
it'll
be the reverse?
I think what's going to happen is that Triple H will somehow screw the Big Show out of winning the title. And then he's going to demand he wants a rematch. So then at TLC, they're going to have another match where Big Show loses again, and Triple H is going to be the one who causes it. And that's going to lead to the Royal Rumble match that they have.
I think that's a bad idea.
It is a bad idea, but you know what? It's going to happen that way.
Here's why. The Royal Rumble itself sells as a pay-per-view because it is the lead up to WrestleMania. And also it happens once a year. It's a very big, important match. And so you don't need to have these special things that happen during that event. You can have Big Show take on Triple H at TLC to try to sell that pay-per-view. And that'd be a smarter thing to do. You have that go on right before the main event, and boom, there you go. So I actually think that'd be a bad idea. I'm not saying that you're wrong. I just think it'd be a bad idea. And knowing that it's a bad idea, WWE is going to do it.
You know, also was a bad idea. Have Eva Marie actually win a match on Raw. No one likes her. Exactly. So Cena versus Del Rio is going to happen at Survivor Series. I was kind of hoping Sandow would get involved in this in some way, somehow. Pretty much not going to happen, I guess.
You know who they should try to build up and put in the main event, Andy?
Evan
Antonio's Ward? Antonio Cesaro and Damian Sandow.
Oh, yeah. The two guys that are actually now back on the NXT opening bumper.
Two guys who are good workers, good on the mic, and I believe could be credible heels. Those are two guys. I look at them and I go, they both have that look and that feel. They can be main event heels, and WWE needs to push the crap out of both of them immediately. They need to have Sandow in the World Heavyweight title picture. And they need to have Cesaro break away from Swagger so that way he can get in the world title picture at some point in time. You know,
do you think Swagger is holding him back?
Yeah, I do.
I agree. In fact, this sounds really horrible for me to say this, but in a way, I hope Cena gets injured again. Not where he can, where he just can't wrestle, but he can be on TV. Because I believe that this was a missed opportunity for the 9 weeks that he was gone. You should have had two or five superstars come out of it, and nothing. What happened? Nothing. No one was built up. You know, views went down. You can push another person down our throat, and guess what? They didn't do it.
I like how you say two or five. like, what if I wanted four? No.
It's two or five, not four, or so three, or six.
Let me ask you this. You know, it was Cena winning the World Heavyweight title, which I don't understand. Orton has a WWE title. Do you believe that these two are in a crash course for WrestleMania where they're going to combine the titles?
No. I truthfully believe that it'll be Daniel Bryan winning the Royal Rumble, like I said earlier, It's going to be Daniel Bryan winning the Royal Rumble and facing Randy Orton at WrestleMania 30, and that will be the headliner. And I think
you
that
believe
will sell.
That they're going to combine the titles, though. That's
no,
what
no, no. I don't think they're going to do that yet. I think what Cena's trying to do is actually take that title instead of making, because he even said, he goes, no disrespect to anyone who's had it, but WWE has made this a second tier title. He wants to make it so it is on par, if not higher, or, you know, if not better than the WWE title. And I actually like that statement, because even
it used to be,
it used to be. But even when you look at that belt, if you put that belt up and then the WWE belt and you said, which one would you rather have? And I guarantee you, if you took 10 people, eight of them would pick at least the NWA/WCW/now WWE World Heavyweight Championship belt. Because most people who have seen anything with wrestling, they'll see that and they're going to look at that gaudy WWE belt that that Randy Orton has.
I you know what? I picked the WWE title and I disagree. I would say be 8 out of 10 for the WWE title, mostly because of the history behind it. Don't get me wrong, the WCW title is a much better looking title, but the WWE title has more prestige to it. And the people that have held the WWE title, when you look at them compared to the WCW title, it's hands down WWE by far, because the WCW title, yeah, it was good for a while, but then they give it to Jack freaking Swagger and the Great Khali. Those two people held that title.
Are you talking about in WWE 2K14?
So that's let's move on to the sponsors, Andy.
HostGator, are you a blogger, a podcaster, or are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And make sure you use the special coupon code OFFTHEMARK. You're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do y'all lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite at web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86 Off The Mark page. You're going to see a banner for WWEShop.com. Make sure you remember what that coupon code is. Click on it. And then when you check out at WWEShop.com, you're going to save a bunch of money on your order. So let's move on to Impact Wrestling for this week. Of course, this is going to be, what, the second to last live taping? So anyway, so they start off and it's all about Ace and Eights. Tension in Aces and Eights.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think this is going to lead to?
So I actually liked what they were doing. I like the Ken Anderson thing, you know, looked like he was manipulating them, or not manipulating, but, you know, just talking about why you shouldn't be with Bully anymore. They have a vote and Aces and Eights votes Bully down. And then Anderson, he's very happy about it. He's talking with Bully, you know, they're yelling at each other. And then Aces and Eights attack Ken Anderson. So it was a setup. And I actually kind of like that. It wasn't as predictable as I would have thought it would have been. I think that this could – Ace and Eights needs to end soon, plain and simple. But I think that this could be a good start to the ending, you know, where they eventually they go, you know what, actually you are kind of a jerk and we are done with Aces and Eights. So I think that this could be a good start.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I just was surprised about how many people cheered when Nux took off his colors or whatever they call, stripes or whatever it's called.
Cut.
I'm sorry. When he took off his cut, the crowd didn't cheer that much. But when Gareth Bischoff took it off, the crowd popped really big. Like they're like, all right, we want to see him do something. And then when they found out it was a thing, it was just like, boo. I thought it was also interesting that they brought Taz in as well. Because usually Taz is nowhere to be seen on the Ace and Eight stuff. So why is he even in the group?
Yeah, that was the dumbest decision. We're going to put Taz in there. Why?
Exactly.
And even still to this point, it's like if you want a heel announcer, just let him be a heel announcer. He doesn't have to be, I'm Ace and Eight.
Exactly. Because what's going to happen when he gets kicked out eventually?
Yeah,
you can't be you can't have two face announcers. You know, it's hard to do that. You got to have, and Tanae is just a straight face. He's not a heel whatsoever. So you can't have him go back and forth in a way. Like I think Jerry Lawler is, you know, a face and sometimes he's a heel. Then he goes back to the face. But anyway, so Main Event Mafia actually opened the show up and they said that they're going to be splitting up. And each person said that they want the title. Everyone leaves and then just leaves Kurt Angle in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about the segment?
I actually liked the segment. I thought it was good. I like that Samoa Joe said that it's been way too long since he's had the title. And I agree. I think that, you know, Joe needs that title. And I hope that he gets a title run sometime in 2014. In fact, you know what? I'm that might be one of my predictions for next year, that Joe gets a title run. But the one thing is, I think that this helped them split up evenly, where Sting is going to go his own way. He's probably going to help make Ethan Carter III a bigger superstar. Meanwhile, you're going to have Magnus and Joe on a collision course. And then Angle is going to be feuding with Rude for a while. So I think that this was actually a really good segment, really great way to break them up. And this is going to be really good down the road.
Did you like the fact that Angle and Rude went over, I think, 3.5 segments?
I did not understand that.
Kept coming out of nowhere. I want Angle. Okay. Could you just not do that?
You know? Yeah.
So the main event for Impact was Hardy took on Chris Sabin for round one of the tournament, and they only gave the match about 10 minutes, which was disappointing. But it was a Full Metal Mayhem. I haven't seen this in a while. It's been a long time. So,
well, I mean, it's just a hardcore match, you know.
Yeah, so. But I think that when they do it, it's a little bit different. So I was pretty happy about the entire match, the flow of the match. It just seemed like everything was rushed, though. It's like they had to do a move that usually the guy would lay down there for an extra 10 seconds, then like get up, opposed to them doing the move and they'd be like, oh, sell it for 2 seconds. Now I got to get back up so we can, you know, cram a 20-minute match into 10 minutes.
I would say 15 would have been better, but, you know, either way, it was a good match. I think it actually helped make Sabin look a lot more credible. Oh, that was the problem I had with him winning the title, is that he wasn't ready for it. You just gave him the title for no reason, hoping it would help make him. And that's the thing. The title typically doesn't make the man makes the title. And so I think that this helped make him a bigger superstar. Now, if you had Sabin taking on other wrestlers before he took on Bully, I think that would have made his match with Bully when he won the title a bigger match. So, for example, if he took on Hardy the week before and won, and then he takes on Bully the next week, absolutely, I'm in. I am in. And so I think that this match is actually a really good thing for him, even though he lost. But the only downside I see to this is that there's going to be 4 matches for to start it off. Then you have 2, and then the winner of that goes on to 1, right? That's 7 matches. They've had 1 match now so far. And then they have 1 match next week. Is it going to be 7 weeks before we have a champion?
Ooh, wait, hold on a second. Let me do the math. 1-1, and then they're taping 1-1-1. No, here's what's going to happen, because they're going to have to do it live, because they don't want to spoil who the new TNA champion is. So if they're doing 1 this week, and then 1 next week, and then they're back in Orlando to do another one, and then the week, then in, or when they go to Orlando, they tape on the 21st, the 22nd, and the 23rd. So that means that's 5 matches right there. So I bet you it's going to be 6 is what it's going to end up being over that time frame. So we're not going to see who the next champion is. Oh, gosh.
For 2 months.
Okay, let's see.
The last time TNA had a champion, Andy, was October 24th. That's when AJ Styles walked out. Okay?
December,
we're not going to have a new champion
until December 12th is what I'm assuming.
It would have to be. It would have to be if they taped them. But I believe that they're taping 3 at the end of November.
December 12th. So I did the math. So okay. December 12th is when you'd find out who the new TNA champion is, which actually gives you enough time to have AJ Styles defended at a couple places. So they're just redoing the CM Punk storyline, which is kind of sad.
We'll see.
So for our weekly topic, we want to talk about who should buy TNA, or in TNA's terms, who should buy a controlling stake in TNA, opposed to the entire company being for sale. So we want to run through some people. Vince McMahon is the first one, of course. Or are you talking about Vince from ShamWow?
So, Andy, who should buy TNA? Let's just say right now we're going to just say they're for sale. And we're going to talk about who should buy them and why. So, Andy, Vince McMahon, do you think that Vince McMahon, if it was for sale, do you think he should buy TNA?
No. And here's why. He doesn't have to. He can just wait. The rumor is, big rumor, but there's now some questioning about it, is that they're going to move SmackDown to Spike TV, supposedly. It could happen. If that happens, then pretty much TNA's done. Because they won't have anywhere in the United States to go. They could try and go to sci-fi, but oh, wait, they can't because that's an NBC-owned property. And WWE is going to work out a deal with NBC Universal, which I would bet money on it, where they can be the only wrestling promotion on any one of their networks. So where does TNA go? Think about it. They would have to probably go to, what, GAC, MTV. So
what you're saying is you don't think that Vince should buy it.
Why is he doesn't have to. I think that it's going to end up – I think the writing is going to be on the wall and you're going to see it happen.
Well, I disagree on that. But okay. I actually am going to say I think that Vince should buy it. And I think when you think about the tape library –
now, you're talking about right now or within the next year.
This is 100% hypothetical, first of all. This is assuming TNA is for sale. And this is saying that within a year that TNA is going to get sold. Okay.
Okay, then I say Vince should buy it.
And here's why I think that he should, because if you think about the tape library that he would get with a lot of superstars that, you know, Jeff Hardy, Christian, and, you know, when you talk about, of course, the actual TNA superstars, you know, you would have a huge library there. And then also you could actually use the match types. The Ultimate X match is a really innovative type of match, and you would be able to use that then with your cruiserweights and have really, really good matches. So I think that it would be a good thing. Now, let's go down a little bit further. Shane McMahon. If Shane was looking – do you think that Shane would be somebody who would want to buy it or should buy it?
If Shane is doing well without working at the WWE, why get back into wrestling? Because wrestling is pretty much a 24/7 job. You're always working. There's no time off. Realistically, he doesn't need it. I don't think he should buy it. I think actually it would hurt wrestling as a whole because people will say that, oh, it's Shane McMahon. Oh, gosh, I'm trying to think how to word this now. Basically, I think there wouldn't be a backlash, but people would be like, oh, he's going to sell it to his dad for like a dollar is what I think is going to happen. And I think it actually would hurt TNA. So I would hope that he would not buy TNA just because of that.
I think it would not be a good thing. I think the only way it would be is if he thought, you know what, I could not do better, or I wouldn't be able to do anything WWE. I think I could do better, and then he goes for it. But I don't think that would be a smart thing, to be honest. So I think that would be a no. Now, what about Jeff Jarrett, though, Ian?
Well, technically, he owns a small portion of the company, but
let's say controlling stake, though.
Like controlling stake, he doesn't have the money, and he shouldn't buy it because, as we've seen, TNA – even without Hogan, even without certain things, the ratings stay the same. Mm-hmm. So he's not doing his job properly. So I would hope that he wouldn't buy it. He shouldn't buy it. No, he's not one who should buy it. He was decent at one point, but no.
I don't think it would be a good thing to buy either. And it's actually because I think he probably doesn't have the mind for it anymore. I mean, I know he's been off TV for a long time, but I just think you want to get somebody who's more wrestling minded, more business minded in there. And so I think Jeff Jarrett would not be a good thing. What about Ted Turner, Andy? Let's say old Ted goes, you know what? I got the money. I got some time on TNT and TBS, and we're going to have Impact Wrestling on Monday and Thursday nights. And, you know, I don't know. Let's say he brings back Bischoff and he has Bischoff run the company.
And we're back in the wrestling business.
So, Andy, that means that he's going to have, you know, he has the money to do so. And he would have a lot of money. And you have somebody like Bischoff there. Do you think that would be a smart thing?
No, because he took a huge loss when WCW was sold to WWE. When you think about it, I think WWE bought it for like $2 million, basically for the tape library. And they didn't have to pay the wrestler salaries. Come on. Ted Turner lost a ton of money. It would be stupid for him to buy it. So he's probably going to buy it.
I disagree. I think that it would be a good thing for him to buy it. He won't. He's not going to buy it. Here's why it'd be a good thing. Let's say he goes, you know what? Costs are going to be normal, though. You're not going to have those ironclad contracts. You're not going to have all this guaranteed money. And instead, costs are going to be, you know, a little bit lower than what they were for WCW. He owns TNT and TBS. He'd be able to put wrestling on there. He would be able to promote wrestling. And I think that's the biggest thing that TNA is missing. So I think that Ted Turner would be smart to buy it.
All right. So Billy Corgan's next on the list. And I thought this would be a great idea for Billy Corgan, but from Smashing Pumpkins, lead singer. But actually, I don't think it would be a good thing for him to buy the company. He just started Resistance Pro Wrestling up in Chicago. But I think the reason why he's been talking to TNA is because he wants to be where you get your guys here, we train them, and then send them down to the big time. That's why I think it'd be bad for him to buy it.
I just think that having a wrestling fan, you know, buy a company, I've never been a fan of, and I think that him buying it would not be a good thing. I think that you need to get some outside person in there, and I don't think Billy Corgan is it. Now, what about Mark Cuban, Andy?
Mark Cuban is a wrestling fan. That's the big thing. He is a fan. He likes wrestling. And he's 100% a businessman, as in, I think he said a couple of times that he's done business with a couple of friends who then were not his friends because he basically told them how it is. And it's all business, nothing personal. And of course, they take things personal. So I think Mark Cuban buying it would actually be a good thing, because also he owns HD Net, which I think has now been rebranded to something else. But anyways, but he owns his own station. So he could have them run shows like, you know, five times a day if they really wanted to, and just have it repeat Impact over and over again whenever they felt like. So I think it would be a good thing for him to buy it.
I agree with you on that one. I think that Mark Cuban, you know, echo exactly what you said. And I think that he could actually help make it more profitable, and he could make it a better business. So I, you know, that's interesting. You know, we both agree on Vince. We both agree on Cuban. I think Ted Turner, you didn't. But Andy, we're missing the most obvious one here.
Yes, Courtney Cox.
Mr. Courtney
Cox. Oh, Mr. Courtney Cox, yes. David Arquette, of course, he's not married to her now. But yeah, David Arquette, there's been talks that he possibly was interested in buying or buying a controlling stake in TNA. The only thing is, it's not going to be him. But it would be interesting if he did, because he is a wrestling fan, and he is a former World Heavyweight Champion as well. So him buying the company, a bad idea.
100% agree.
But as much as I like David Arquette, and I think he did do some good things for wrestling. Okay, I'm just kidding. I think he's a great guy. I just don't think that him buying TNA would be a great idea. So anyway, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AllTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and ending the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.